Hi there, listener. You're about to experience Tadpog. Tyler and Dave play old games, and there will be plenty of game talk, but also copious amounts of crude, off-color, offensive, and immature speech. So if you are of a rather sensitive humor constitution, we're just letting you know what you're in for with this show. It has games. It has jokes. You know, just games and jokes. Take the games, take the jokes, and have a good time.
Hello, Internet. Welcome to another Tadpog podcast. It's a show that happens twice a week. Just two old guys talk about old games. It is Other Shit Monday. And we're going to get back to our streak of advert games, our much-praised Peabody Award-winning set of advert games. Mm-hmm. So this week, we are doing, I forget who makes it, it's the PlayStation game. So
Kid?
Kid.
K-I-D.
The PlayStation 1, Pepsi Man.
Pepsi Man.
Pepsi Man.
Pepsi Man.
Before all that, I am your bearded host, Tyler. And I texted you the other day.
You did. I get weird texts from you now that I don't reply to.
That's fine. It's more for me just put it out there so I don't forget it.
There's just like a sentence. You'll just send me a sentence that's pretty random.
Yep.
I don't want to say what this one was because I don't want to spoil your story. Because
this one is, I was watching a TV show and they brought up moshing.
Do people still do that?
Probably. I imagine it's still at every, like, what's a... Smash Mouth or 311 or...
Okay, maybe 311. I'm pretty sure Smash Mouth is...
I'm pretty sure you mosh Smash Mouth.
I'm pretty sure everyone dresses up like Shrek and moshes Smash Mouth.
But I remember, because it was... I mean, it's more of like a 90s thing, right? Like
that's what I thought.
I don't assume it's super popular, but back when... I was a middle schooler, early high schooler in the 90s.
Yeah. Man, do you remember when we went to see The Lion King on Broadway, Tyler? And we started that mosh pit.
Mosh pits. Zazu was jumping in there. It was fucking amazing. But I remember I didn't go to any other concerts. I didn't like any other really kind of music. The only music that my parents would buy for me was Christian music. Christian rock included.
Okay.
So
at least you had that.
I'd mentioned that all the top Christian artists back in the day I'd gone to see, like Newsboys, Audio Adrenaline,
Jars of Clay,
mm-hmm. all of those people I'd been to see at various churches and arenas and things like that. Of course, Skillet. I remember Skillet was like a ska Christian band.
Are they still around?
I want to say I read something on them fairly recently, so maybe. But
DC Talk, remember DC Talk? DC Talk. Did you ever see them?
Yeah. DC Talk, I never got to see. DC Talk, they were too big to come to like any of the churches within like three or four states. Like,
so these like Jars of Clay would like come locally?
And, mm-hmm.
Really?
Yep. Yep. They had been to like sort of the mega churches of our area.
Yeah.
They had been to.
But, we've got a mega church here.
Mm-hmm.
We might not have.
We have two mega churches in the area. One you see right off the interstate.
Like. Yeah, yeah, it's like the Super Walmart of churches.
It went about the same time as our Super Walmart. So, God, DC Talk. I'm trying to remember because I'd memorized that rap. I'm trying to see if I can remember it.
It would be great if you could.
Oh, it took me a while because I had to miss rhythm. Okay. So that man in the middle of the city took me a while. He had something to see, a tattoo, and a regular tattoo green. It took me a while to catch what it said because I had to match rhythm of his belly with my head. Jesus saves is what it said in a typical tattoo green. He stood on the box in the middle of the city and he claimed he had a dream. What people?
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You like that.
Yeah. You brought back some really, really weird memories.
Because, yeah, my parents were all cool with all of that. Yeah. Stephen Curtis Chapman, he wasn't necessarily rock, though, but he was a Christian artist from the area.
Amy Chapman's brother?
Maybe.
That was a joke, but I don't know.
Maybe.
Now I'm curious.
But moshing was like the popular thing to do. So I remember
moshing.
Whenever like we would go to a Christian concert, the first thing people want to do when a rock song came on was mosh.
Was hanging, hell, not hand job.
Hand jobs. Okay. Hand jobs. I did finger a girl at a Christian concert.
That's pretty much, yeah. That's why you go.
Yeah. It was an outdoor concert. I mean, I talked about this story before. Like, it was an outdoor concert, and we had like a laying on a blanket, put the blanket over us, and just did it like in the middle of everybody, my entire youth group around us watching probably Newsboys on stage. But
a ranger would have been able to track you guys pretty easily.
Yeah. Follow the slug trail. But of course, I mean, rock song comes on, everybody starts moshing. Nothing sent the old people at a church who had to like chaperone into more distress and anger than starting to mosh. Man, people would freak out. Like, all the adults would just storm us and pull us apart like we were fighting or ripping into each other. Just like, no moshing. No, stop. That's all, God, that's all we wanted to fucking do was just mosh in the middle of a sanctuary with all the pews and shit and people them playing.
Except for you, under the blanket.
Yeah.
Well, I don't blame you.
That one time. You know, I was in there like wanting to mosh with everybody else. But I remember I started going to more and more concerts and like, they put up signs, like wooden signs and things like in the middle of the concert, no moshing, no, like, because I never saw anybody really get hurt badly, but I don't know if it was an insurance concern or it was just like, we're letting this rock gospel go just barely, much less the behavior of like the youth of today. But, and my youth leaders didn't particularly care, so they wouldn't stop us.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was in a lot of Christian mosh pits where there was, I guess it was still more of us just kind of just like bumping into each other. It wasn't like,
I think you're doing it around. Right. Oh no.
Like we were like, I watched other mosh pits where you're jumping and shouldering each other, but there's also like elbows going and arms going and people jumping off of stuff. And it was just more like a pit of weeble wobbles, just kind of bouncing off of each other, like praising Jesus in a wibbly wobbly kind of way.
Like Morgan Freeman could easily voice over the actions.
Yeah.
Had you ever been in like a non-Christian mosh pit?
Nope.
See, I think that you have to now, so you can compare the two.
I need to go. You go to a Metallica concert and try to start a mosh pit.
I don't even think, honestly, I think there's probably like less moshing in a Metallica concert than a Smash Mouth concert. Because like I just imagine like Metallica concerts are now just a whole bunch of 54-year-olds who sit down in lawn
chairs. We spent $200 for this and we're going to listen to music. Yeah. Fucking sit down, kid. Yeah,
exactly. You need to go to like some like punk band that is just about to sign on to a label. Mm. I think that's what you need.
I'm trying to think.
You need to get spit on and pissed on.
Like, you mean like a Blink-182 concert? Like,
exactly.
What are the kids like nowadays?
A Blink-91.
Blink-91.
Yeah. What's up, internet? I am your respectacled host. I don't know, honestly, that I can do this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't feel very good. I don't feel very good. I feel I did a lot of yard work today in the hot Kentucky sun.
You want a beer?
You're
supposed to have beer post yard work.
I didn't have one today. That might be why. Mm-hmm. So I feel like my refreshment levels, I feel like are very low.
Well, I don't know. I think it's pretty convenient that we're doing this episode if your refreshment level's low.
I mean, if only I had, if only I had a Pepsi.
Oh, shit.
A Pepsi, Tyler. If only I had a Pepsi to bring my refreshment level from zero to one. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Here, I'm gonna do it. This, man, I haven't had like a full octane soft drink in a while.
Man, you're going to think that is so fucking gross.
Let's see. Also, I haven't had a Pepsi probably in a decade.
Yep, that's about what I thought.
Yeah, that really coats your tongue.
Yeah, I haven't had a Pepsi in a long time either.
Well, here you go, brother.
No, thank you. I never liked Pepsi in the first place. Full disclosure, I don't like Coke either. I've never, both of the cola line of products in any brand I don't like. I'd always rather have any other soda. I never understood the big deal about cola.
Here's the good news. My refreshment levels are picking up.
Mm-hmm.
I can slowly...
At your insulin levels, actually.
I can feel them slowly rising.
Drink enough of those and you'll become immune to your own refreshments.
Well, that's the goal. I'm just living the dream. I needed to get... It's good. I feel good now. I feel like maybe I can do the show. I got to bring my refreshment levels up because there's something I need to read.
Okay.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
If please, I read something?
Please.
This is the sixth trial of Reddit, which I like to call an email from Phil that he sent 2 years ago, and he was sad that we never read, so he brought it up to me. So I'd like to read that. Tyler, you may have heard this before because I am almost certain. I had to ask Phil probably 3 times, are you sure that we did not read this on the show? Because I distinctly remember reading this out loud with a microphone in front of me. Mm-hmm. And he said, no, you didn't. And I said, how do you know? He said, because I was a little sad that it never happened. So
okay. All right.
For that, I'm totally, totally have to read it.
Your email was never a good way to get in contact with us anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I do. Well, here's the other thing. I told him when we received it, because I received it in email and I read it and I thought it was funny. I don't think we had ever received an email from anyone before. And it was just kind of like we read it. It was like, yeah, that was good. What do we do with it? I don't know. And then I told Phil that, and he mentioned cut to 2 years later reading the trials of Reddit as intro stories. Like, okay, that's a good point. That's a really good point. Let me read this thing. Hey, guys. I recently revisited the Soul Blazer episode, also known as the one where Tyler fingers a fat girl. This is going to be full of wonderful moments.
We didn't read this one.
And Yuki's cousin, edit Tony, posed a great question. Build a 5-person D&D party composed of fictional characters outside of video games. Man, when is the last time we've referred to Impresario Tony as Yuki's cousin?
It's been a man fucking while.
I got refreshment bubbles coming up, so excuse me. Dave's answers were mostly pulled from various TV shows, inspiring me to create my own party. I do not remember what my answers were.
Because I went like a lot of Wheel of Time characters, Game of Thrones characters.
Okay.
And then you went like Carl from Family Matters as your DD. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah.
I remember that slightly now. Okay, here's Phil's lineup. You ready? Dan Connor.
No, we did read this.
I feel like we read this.
We did read this.
I feel like we read this.
Because we were very amused by it.
Exactly. But look, I have probably listened to... We've done... What episode is this? This is like
245.
We've done 245 episodes, Tyler. Of those 245 episodes, I have probably listened to 5% of our episodes. And I know that Phil has listened to... I would say probably 200%. I think he's probably listened to each one of our episodes at least twice.
Yeah.
Would be my guess. I think he's the expert.
It's true.
So you probably remember hearing this because I read it to you. I'm willing to bet.
Yeah.
Dan Connor, Tyler, from Roseanne. You might remember him from Roseanne.
Is he saying he's a barbarian damage dealer?
He is saying that he is a barbarian.
See, I know I've heard this.
No, you have heard this. Tyler, he's a mountain of a man, like Dan Connor, was made for charging into combat, dressed only in Shao Kahn's leather thong. In a previous era, the man of his size and stature would have been crushing skulls during the day and crushing pussy at night. Sorry, Taryn Landon. Instead, he's sadly relegated to raising 3 awful children in Lanford, married to an unfuckable ogre of a wife. Ogre, maybe, I would say. Unfuckable?
No. Surely not unfuckable.
I don't think so.
No.
No. Carl Winslow, Family Matters, fighter. Carl may be fat and dumpy, but he has combat training as a police officer and comes equipped with a police baton and gun. It's like an action figure. Plus, he has with a once-a-day special ability to summon Urkelbot. It's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Philip Banks, Tyler. That's from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. He's a monk. Uncle Phil joined a monastery for 2 months when Hillary posed nude for Playboy, so he's this party's monk. Think of him as a large, imposing monk in the mold of Friar Tuck, not some hummus-eating fruit cup with prayer flags and smelly rags. He's intimidating and menacing, but as a judge, he's also the moral compass of the group.
See, I wonder, like, Carl Winslow is also pretty good. He's got, like, a diplomatic. He's always, like, help the kids, like, realize what's going on. Like, Carl Winslow has that as well. Dan, maybe not so much, but...
Dan, no. No, I don't think so. I want to know who Jackie is in the Roseanne D&D parallel. What is Jackie?
Because she was also a cop.
Yeah, but she's got a lot of drama.
Yeah, she
does. a lot of drama.
Maybe she's a bard. Maybe she's that, you know, that fifth jack of all trades, master of none.
I don't think Jackie's inspired anyone ever.
Sorry, other Jackie. Men she slept around.
Sorry, Aunt Jackie. Next on Phil's list is Heathcliff Huxtable, The Cosby Show. He is this group's cleric. Remember, this is from 2 years ago.
He is this group's alchemist.
Dr. Huxtable's expertise in obstetrics. I don't know what that's the...
Obstetrics.
Obstetrics?
Obstetrics.
Obstetrics. I've had a baby, by the way. Don't know. I still don't know.
You put a baby in somebody.
In a twins-like scenario, probably wouldn't translate to the battlefield, but you need to include the best TV dad of the 80s.
Phil.
The combustible Huxtable gets a +2 bonus to charisma from his signature sweaters.
Yeah.
He did put an edit in here. I guess this is the 2015 edit. Date rape pills.
Yep. Okay.
And is surprisingly athletic due to his background as a distance runner in high school. Rounding up the group is Cliff Clavin of Cheers, who is a warlock. John Ratzenberger, of all people, is one of the most successful actors of all time, if you judge by box office receipts. He continues to be cast in every $300 million Pixar movie, so my guess is that he either knows black magic or he made a pact with the devil. Clearly, there are some dark forces at work behind that push broom mustache. And then he gave us some Saved by the Bell alternates. Zach Morris, Bard. Albert Clifford Slater as a fighter. Jesse Spano, Druid.
See, I wonder if Zach would be a bard, though, because I feel like Zach would almost be more of a rogue. But he has the ability to stop time. It's a ninth level spell.
Yeah, but that could be like Divine Spark or something that gave him... He could be an avatar of a deity.
That's fair. Okay, yeah. He's a Lidimar's avatar, Zach Morris.
And Jesse Spano, a druid? I don't know, man. She's got druid hair. And she's tall like I'd imagine a druid.
Mm-hmm. I mean, she's a feminist, but like, I don't remember her being...
Phil, women are not animals. I know you get those two confused.
I know your liberal feminist wife plays a druid in Dave's game, but that doesn't...
He says, I'll leave the last three for you to decide. Lisa Turtle, Kelly Kapowski, and Screech Powers. So what I'd like to do is not address that right now, but address it at the end of the show. We can bookend
some time
it.
So
we can think about it. And actually, probably what's going to happen is we will completely forget about it and end the show and never come back to it.
All right. Well, 200 more episodes, we'll finish it up.
So thanks, Phil. I'm going to continue to raise my refreshment levels.
God, I cannot look at a Pepsi without thinking about Brandon of Axel A fame.
Really?
Because, like,
this is gross.
I had never really I knew what Pepsi was, like, but I never really imbibed a lot of Pepsi before, like, hanging out with Brandon.
How old were you before you knew what Pepsi was?
I mean, I knew what it was, my aunt bought Diet Coke or Sam's Club Cola and Diet Cola.
Let's see. Did you drink a lot of, was it Mountain Lightning?
Mountain Lightning. My mom would occasionally, she had way more of that for Ryan growing up. I had more sweet tea with every meal.
Man, we were a sweet tea family too. It was crazy rare to drink a Coke when I was in high school. Yeah. It was all just sweet tea that was absolutely more worse for me than soda.
Yes, yes. The only time I really had soda was at Brandon's house and at Josh's house. Pepsi at Brandon's and Mountain Dew and Surge at Josh's. But like Brandon growing up was, I, I know I've mentioned this before too, a super finicky eater, super finicky, super picky. And exclusively, I remember for the first 4 years I knew him, I never really saw him eat anything except chicken tenders, chicken tendies, yes, fries, and Pepsi.
Really?
And it would burn my dad up.
Right. I remember you mentioning this now.
Like he would just, he's
like
always,
Brandon was the Krampus or
Brandon
something.
Brandon was the Krampus for my dad back in the day just because of his dietary habits. My dad just did not understand it. How can somebody just eat chicken tenders and drink Pepsi constantly? Like I would stay at Brennan's house and we'd sit up all night long drinking Pepsi and playing Tekken, Tekken 2, trying to get the nude cutscene, like Anna and what's her name in the shower and stuff like that.
That's a thing?
Yeah. It's not worth it. It's not worth it.
It's not worth it for me to go on YouTube right now and look it up?
Oh, that might. Well, barely.
Okay.
It's barely worth it.
Great. On a scale of jerking it to not jerking it.
You're not going to jerk.
You're not going to jerk. Okay,
even in middle school, you're not really going to
jerk. Oh, wow. That's really
like,
low.
It's more like you see just like cleavage. The towel drops low enough for you to see cleavage and then some steam and that's it.
I love steam.
Chun-Li shower scene, much better. Yeah. Much, much, much better.
Chun-Li shower scene is disturbing, I think.
But I still, Pepsi, man.
Yeah.
Never liked it at all. I'm trying to think of Pepsi products that I enjoy more.
Dr. Pepper's Pepsi,
is it
right?
Pepsi? I think it's Coca-Cola.
We've had this.
I think Mr.
before.
Pibb is Pepsi.
Man, Pepsi. If that's the case, Pepsi just doesn't have anything, do they?
They have Mountain Dew. I think that's their thing.
That's what's keeping them afloat.
I think Mountain Dew is what does it for them. I could be wrong there. I'm not totally sure. Those all, except for Pepsi and Coke, everything else blends together.
So why don't you like cola? I wonder.
Yeah, I just never like 7-Up, Sprite, Mountain Dew, everything else has appealed to me way more than in cola.
Yeah.
I still don't. I like Cherry Coke.
Yeah.
I love Cherry Coke, Cherry Coke Zero. Cherry Pepsi I'm not particularly fond of. I think Pepsi is too sweet.
Pepsi's got...
As far as like fucking soda goes,
yeah,
Pepsi has like this element of sweeterness that I don't enjoy.
We should have done a blind taste test.
We should have done
that for this episode.
That would have been good.
I do have, Tyler, if you'd like to do an impromptu one, I've got a sugar-free Red Bull here and a full octane Pepsi. Can you put them in cups?
Can you tell which one is
Can you tell which one is the one? Which one tastes like sweet tarts but medicine?
I'm going to dissolve these sweet tarts that I've been sitting in the sun for 6 months in this Pepsi. So see if you can tell the difference. But... Because I was tempted to try one like you just did.
Yeah.
But like,
there's one right in front of you there, buddy. Oh, you're going to do it. There you go. Man, you put that to your lips. Your refreshment level was visibly raised.
Like raising it to my mouth, I smelled it. It was just like, ugh, no, no.
To be fair, like in Pepsi's defense, I did, sometimes I accidentally get a regular Coke through the drive-thru instead of a Diet Coke or Coke Zero. And it's pretty much the same experience. Even with like ice, it doesn't cut that thick, syrupy.
Once you get used to Diet Coke and or diet drinks and then drink more water and tea and things like that, man, just soda's just...
It's weird.
You can't do it.
Because I've never, like when I was a kid, like when I was in high school drinking regular Coke.
See, I feel like I just like licked a battery.
Well, I did put a battery in there. I put some of the old Huxtable charm in there, Tyler.
I dosed myself the Huxtable charm before you came over here. It was unnecessary.
You're going to feel really good in a couple minutes.
Oh, man.
You hear that, Tyler?
I do. I do. It's us not enjoying Pepsi.
That's a... Oh, it's a miserable trade.
It's the wrong impressions of our youth.
I don't even know where I know Atlanta is the big... Coca-Cola place, right? Because they've got the museum and everything there. Pepsi is like Soviet Russia or something, like not even like current day Russia. It's like they make this stuff in the 80s and then they transport it to the future. And then it's why it's more expensive than Coke. It's all the time tax.
I mean, Pepsi, I guess their marketing schemes are very different between Coke and Pepsi. I guess Coke tries to be like family values and kindness, and Pepsi's like the edgier one.
Kinda, but we all saw how that worked out for Sonic the Hedgehog.
Man, that is a good comparison.
He's also Pepsi Blue. He just happens to also be Pepsi Blue.
And Mario being red like Coke, I feel like that's pretty fitting. That's pretty good. Mario is Coke and Sonic is Pepsi. Some people really enjoy Sonic, but it's not what it used to be.
All right, guys. Yes. Of course, this train ushers in a segment that we like to call Dave Reads from Wikipedia. Pepsi Man, video game. Pepsi Man is a 1999 Japanese video game for the PlayStation based on the marketing mascot of Pepsi called Pepsi Man, period. That's it. Would you like me to get into the history?
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. Awesome. History. Before the release of Pepsi Man, developer KID Kid had only made adult-themed games for the Sega Saturn.
Man, what incredibly hot woman like was able to hook this deal up?
That's a good question. I don't know. I don't know how Kid got a hold. I don't know how you can make adult-themed games and your development company be called Kid. Though Pepsi Man was only released in Japan, all the game menus, dialogue, and full motion videos are in English, with the latter of the two subtitled in Japanese. There is also an Arabic dubbed version of the game. Do not know why. Seems like a very, very weird choice.
Yes.
But I mean, hey, okay. Some of the games are based on Pepsi's Pepsi Man TV ads. Period. Hard stop. The game disc can be played as an audio CD containing 7 tracks, which play as background music in the game's levels.
Oh, why would you want to do that for this music? Oh, my God.
Next Dragon Con trip, Tyler, I'd say we just throw in Pepsi Man. Just turn it up.
I was going to say, if you're asking us to go as Pepsi Men, like, we're going to look more like the Marvel Capcom 3 version of Mega Man.
I'm not going to look like that because I am a pretty flabby dude.
No, that's what I'm saying. We'll both look like, because the Mega Man in Marvel's Capcom 3 is the original art box Mega Man that has like the gut. And
oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Then I could do that. Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
Pepsi Man was also an unlockable character in the Japanese version of Fighting Vipers. There you go.
So I get Pepsi Man was only in Japanese ads, I guess.
From what I understand, yes. He was only in Japanese ads.
Which
I don't.
It makes this game confusing because this game is all it is your Pepsi Man. It's a, what is this style called? It's the same.
It's a
endless
runner.
It's like Temple Run.
It's Temple Run.
Yeah.
It's Temple Run. But what's weird is this was way before Temple Run because this game came out in, what did I say, 99? Mm-hmm. Something like that.
Yeah.
Temple Run came out way after 99. And I can't think of another game between Pepsi Man and Temple Run that...
I mean, the Bit Trip games kind of do this.
But even Bit Trip was way after.
Way before that, yeah.
Way after Pepsi Man.
Huh. I mean, surely this was not the first of its kind.
Surely it was surely not the first. But they call this genre an endless runner. At least that's what they call Temple Run. So there are some differences. In case anyone out there has played Temple Run on your mobile device... Temple Run goes on forever. It goes on until you fuck up and die, and then it stops. Pepsi Man has clearly defined levels where there's a beginning and an end.
Yeah, the beginning being some service person needing assistance, and the end being a Pepsi machine.
Well, that's the end of the first mission. Pepsi Man goes on a lot of really funny missions.
Because wherever this takes place, like the cops, the firefighters, they're all just, they don't know what the fuck they're doing. They need Pepsi Man's help in this world, in this city based entirely on the acquisition and desire of Pepsi.
And distribution.
And yeah.
Yeah. That's a big power of Pepsi Man is distributing
it's refreshment. It's like if somebody today was like Money Man.
Yeah, so, pretty much. Just you could just hold out your hand like you're using force push, but instead of that, you just everyone's eyes just fill up with brown carbonated bubbles, and then they start cheering and flexing their muscles.
Because everyone in this game that is not Pepsi Man, they look like the background characters from Street Fighter 2.
Yeah, absolutely. No, they specifically from Guile's stage.
Yes. Yes. Because they're all just like the 2D, your 3D, 2D models flexing or waving at you as you run by. And they have like signs like, give me Pepsi. I want Pepsi.
The homeless people. That's the homeless people. Yeah. And it's like, man, that mission is so weird because it's the same city, I guess. They don't, I could tell this was not developed in America because the locate, like the city is all over the place. Cause it's like one moment it's San Francisco with like the rail cars. And the next minute it's the, or streetcars. The next minute it's fucking Detroit.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's just really like, it's like they were just, let's just kind of pick locations from movies we've seen, U.S. movies we've seen, and smash them into one
game. See, as I feel like it was supposed to go to America because it's all English text, the voice acting is English, the fucking weird-ass cutscenes with the old man.
Can we talk about that?
Yes.
Because that's like, the game starts out, and I love this. This will be posted in the show notes. Before I even started playing this game, like, this video on YouTube is what sold me on Pepsi Man because it was...
It's not even from this era. This is like a previous weird era, like 3DO kind of thing they're doing here.
Because it's, yeah, it's a full motion video of a shot of a guy who looks like the actor who played Drew Carey's brother on the Drew Carey show.
I guess, I mean, is this like... maybe it's a characterization of what the Japanese think like
of Americans. Yeah. I was wondering that too.
Yeah, it like, has to be.
Like as I was playing it, I was like, okay, well, this is kind of racist, right? Like, I mean, okay, so I don't have to feel so bad when I like butcher some Japanese title of a game because clearly this is racist towards Americans.
Yep.
Or not? I'm sorry, it's not racist. It's not culturally sensitive.
Xenophobic. So, yeah.
Because yeah, the guy is. He looks like if you took. You know, you're familiar with Booger Man, right? If you took Booger Man, the video game hero, and made him a real live boy.
Because what, he has like a trucker hat on, a very tight white t-shirt. I forget the emblem on it, but it's weird.
It's a Maui tourist shirt because it says something like life in paradise.
Short shorts and like socks pulled up high and Keds.
Yeah. Like, oh, he's a white dude, by the way. Yeah, in case we didn't mention it, he's a white dude.
It's like a white dude in his 50s, maybe.
I don't think he's that much older than we are.
No, he's got to be. Other than that, or he did not take care of himself, clearly with his Pepsi addiction, but still.
Is that like the message of the game? I don't know. It's weird because it's a game where I would think they're trying to sell Pepsi, but this guy, okay, he buys a Pepsi from a vending machine. And then he opens it. By the way, all the Foley in the game of like someone opening a can is totally done by mouth. Like they, it's like they didn't have cans in the studio, and they were like, "Who does a good can opening sound effect?" I don't. Shinji, come over here. Perfect. That's gonna be our go-to. So he opens a can. He brings it to his mouth. And then we don't really get a transformation scene. We're shown Pepsi Man.
So it's like, he takes a drink and then like he hears music. Yeah, zooms into the can and then suddenly, I guess it's the world inside every Pepsi. The magical world inside every Pepsi.
You just wrote a better ad campaign than Pepsi's ever come up with. So they show him in between levels and...
Oh, but... Just because I saw this, because Nicole just put it out there. So for anybody listening to this, while you were listening to this, on release day, today is the last day if you wanted to go to Dragon Con, that a pass for the entire weekend is $80.
It's a pretty good deal. I never do it. I never do it. I shouldn't say I never. I have done it in the past, but man, I just can't commit that far in advance now.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather wait.
Yeah.
I'd rather wait and pay a little more.
It's fair. Sorry, I just derailed it. I just want to put that moment out there case.
Okay.
We did a special on Dragon Con in case anybody's thinking about going. Tomorrow's when the tickets are the cheapest.
So this guy, Drew Carey's brother, is in these cutscenes that are in between each level in the game. And this is where it got really confusing because I thought that this was a game where they're trying to sell Pepsi because Pepsi is everywhere in this game.
Everywhere. We've bitched about Adver games not including their product enough in a game.
That is not a problem.
The opposite. That is not a problem. It's just oversaturated in every corner.
But this guy isn't, I mean, he looks like a guy who drinks a whole lot of Pepsi, mm-hmm. like nothing but Pepsi, because like early in the game, he gets Pepsi and like he's walking out with like two pizzas and a whole bunch of snacks. And then like this, you beat a level and the camera is like him looking at the TV being like, woo.
Yeah, sure. He opens up his fridge. It's full to the brim with Pepsi. Yeah. He gets a whole bunch and he'll walk down his hall, like smiling at the camera, sits there in a lazy boy and has a huge, like family size bag of original Lay's and Pepsi.
I'm glad that you noticed that product placement too, because I did too. I was like, man, I wonder how much Lay's is throwing in on this game.
And his dialogue is delivered in like broken English a lot of times. Because I wrote one of it down. Like, after you beat level 2, he says, Pepsi for TV game.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I didn't know, like, what was up with that. Because they're like little ad spots.
Yeah, it's really weird. I mean, I want to know, like, where did they find this guy? How much did he get paid to do this? But fuck. Because really, like, you start off regular city. You're having to get to the end to replenish the Pepsi in this vending machine. And you're just running, collecting cans of Pepsi. There are 100 in every level, and you're constantly running. You can either speed up, slow down, jump, or do a slide maneuver.
Right,
and this is it. That is the game. Period. That's
you could play this game with an analog stick and two buttons.
You could play almost with like an Atari controller.
Almost,
almost.
I wrote something down. This is what I loved. This first mission, Tyler. A vending machine is out of Pepsi. The distributor tells you.
Mm-hmm.
He can't get there because his tire is flat. So what he needs Pepsi Man to do is get to the vending machine, because people are surrounding it and they are going to riot because there is no Pepsi in this machine. You get to the end of this level.
If you're going to riot, go to the fucking truck that's broken down and just take all the Pepsi you want.
You get to the end of that mission. What happens? Pepsi Man runs up to a vending machine and pulls a Pepsi out of it.
Buys the Pepsi. Yep.
So what was the point of this? I thought it was.
And he's collected like 100 cans of Pepsi. Runs up to it.
And then like the second scene, you do get to that machine where people look. I wouldn't say they're rioting. They just kind of look downtrodden.
Yeah. But like through at the level, like you're running through people's houses.
Yeah, it's like the last 10 minutes of Ferris Bueller's Day Off, where like Ferris is trying to race his parents home, just like running through houses and windows and jumping over white picket fences.
Mm-hmm. Construction scenes. Yeah, and like a garbage truck pulls in front of you and is throwing stuff at you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it for the first level. It's fucking weird. So you beat that level, you get the guy who drinking his Pepsi, looking at the screen, encourages you to go to the next level. You go to the next level, and I think it's pretty similar, because you don't get to like the burning city until like level 3, I think.
Yeah, the next level is I think that's the one where you go in the sewer. Yeah.
Yeah.
You go in the sewer.
There are people stranded. I know in the third level, just while I'm thinking about it.
It's the second level where there's a burning building.
Okay. Because it's a fire truck and they can't get there and you need to go save the people.
Yeah.
Because in this world, Pepsi also works as first aid.
Yeah, there's been a structure fire.
Because they mentioned they need first aid, but they'll also take Pepsi.
Yes.
So yeah, you go throughout this whole big thing and like you're on top of a building jumping to like this burning building where people are on top cheering for you, and you don't quite make it to the building and you fall down like into the sewers.
Yeah.
And then have to keep running.
Yeah, and then the sewers connect up with the subway, mm-hmm. like it does. which is again like they didn't know what city they were going to do. And they're like, I don't know, put like New York subway system in it? Yeah, okay.
Except for the next level when they say we're sending you to Pepsi City.
Right.
Which is like, there was a billboard there that I thought was funny. It's Pepsi everywhere, except one, it's Pepsi and a cheeseburger. And the ad reads, Pepsi plus burger equals healthful and delicious.
There was something I want to mention. When you did you catch the name of the store that the people are rioting in front of?
No.
In Mission One, the store is called Kids Kids.
We're just gonna hang out for the kids store. level one or two also has a ripoff of, I guess, I want to say it's a ripoff. I don't know what came first from Sonic, the first level of Sonic Adventure, to where you get on like a surfboard and you're going down the street.
Yeah, which is San Francisco at that point when you're skateboarding.
Yeah.
Because that's where you have all the streetcars. And man, it's a weird, weird jump from running to riding that skateboard.
Mm-hmm.
Because the game is still pretty much, it's still pretty much the same, but it changes the controls a lot.
Yeah.
And it's like, it seems like every time you go into a shed, you don't know what's going to happen on the other side. Because in the first mission, I think you come out with a trash can over you.
Yeah.
And it inverts the controls.
But I mean, you can still see and move and run.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. So. It's just, your left goes right, and when you press right, it goes left. And you can't take the trash can off of it. You have to run into a low hedge in order for the trash can to come off.
Pepsi's man's like, I'm in too much of a hurry. I can't take it off. I just have to run.
You are timed. So, I mean, you are in a hurry. And this is, I think, dude, I think Pepsi Man is a super well-written superhero. I really, really do. This concept of Pepsi Man is amazing because, all right, you have a superhero who is not really super fast. He's fast. He's faster than a human. He probably tops out at like 60 miles per hour. Mm-hmm. And I say that because in the third mission, you're running on the interstate and there are definitely cars and trucks going faster than you.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking he's like 60 miles per hour. He's more durable than a regular human, but he's not like invulnerable because he gets hit by a car. He takes a knee. Yeah. He gets hit by a Mack truck. He is dead. So it's interesting, right? They're throwing these balances in here. But here is the most interesting thing about Pepsi Man. He lives his life from vending machine to vending machine. He has like 120 seconds. He's got 2 minutes to get to another vending machine. If he doesn't make it, he curls up in the street like a bug and dies. That is the best vulnerability of any, like that, holy shit, is that humanizing? And like almost to a point where you feel bad for him because it's like, man, it would be nice to run kind of fast and kind of be tough, but damn, dude, I don't know how I could live going, I'd have to drink a Pepsi every 2 minutes.
What is that movie with Jason Statham where he has to get like an electric charge every so many minutes to keep this bomb from exploding in his chest or something like that?
I do not know. Is that Cranked or something like that?
Yeah, I think so. Like, yeah. And it is something like that. So, because I don't know, at one point he has to touch car batteries to his nipples, or he has to have sex to keep his heart rate up or something. Some shit like that.
Yeah, we've all used that one.
Basically, they ripped off Pepsi Man in that movie.
All right, so far, Jason Statham and Temple Run have ripped off Pepsi Man.
Sonic Adventure. The first level of Sonic Adventure is one of my, like, I feel like it's a wonderful introduction into 3D Sonic.
You can play as Ferris Bueller. He's an unlockable character.
And the music in Sonic Adventure was really, really good. Music in Pepsi Man, for the first level, it's like rap. And then by the time you get to the interstate, it's like steel drums.
I did not know there was music in this game. Yeah. I didn't. Because I used some resources online to find the game and play the game.
It's Japanese only, so.
So the version of the game I played just didn't have music. So I just assumed that it didn't have music. Mm-hmm. And then,
it does.
And then I got to like the fourth mission and I was like, it dawned on me. This game is really quiet. It's like just pit, 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 just his footsteps. I was like, man, this game like doesn't have a robust sound. And then I was like, I bet someone on YouTube's probably played it. And they have, and there's music to it, and the music is horrible.
Yep. But you can also use this as a CD if you want to listen to the tracks. But I guess there's a formula to every level. It's like you'll go regular level, second sub level, and then a level where something is chasing you. Like in the first level, it's a giant Pepsi can that falls off a billboard, like Indiana Jones running from the boulder.
Yeah, Raiders of the Lost Ark.
And those
Ark
levels,
style.
It just inverts where your camera, instead of being in front, behind is in front, and their levels are not fun.
Which is really disconcerting because, I mean, this isn't an easy game, I didn't think.
Yeah.
You watch some people play it online. Like there's some YouTube videos that make this game look really easy. It is not an easy game because when I was watching the video, I was amazed because I was like, holy shit, this guy beat the game in like 30 minutes. I spent probably 3 hours playing this game and I got to mission 4, which is almost the end of the game. I think there's only five missions.
Five levels, yeah.
But man, I got to mission 4 and it was like, there's no way. This is not happening. I refuse to put more time into the time it's going to take for me to beat this game.
Yeah.
Because it's just these little things that you have to memorize where it's like, okay, these things are going to come quick. You got to memorize, okay, there's going to be three barrels that come out. You got to dodge the barrels. Then there's going to be a gap that you have to jump. And then there's going to be two more barrels that you have to dodge. And it's just memorizing these things because it's at least for me, it was too quick to just play on site.
Yeah. And there's the levels where something is chasing you are very reminiscent of the Lion King level in the
Stampede.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that too in the Genesis version.
That's how fucking difficult and bad it is. And I found it particularly frustrating. The whole level where you're on the interstate in the desert, that whole level is just fucked
man,
up.
It is hard.
Because like motorcycle people, I mean, I guess everyone in a vehicle is anti-Pepsi. Everyone else in the world is pro-Pepsi.
Yeah.
So everyone in a vehicle is trying to stop you. Guys on motorcycles,
you know why?
Zooming past you and turning. Are they Coke people?
In this world, vehicles are fueled by Pepsi. And he's drinking their gasoline.
So it's like a Mad Max.
It's a Mad Max scenario. Exactly. Exactly. I mean, that's the only thing I can come up with.
True.
In which case, I don't really blame him. Riding that motorcycle looks fun.
We just have to make it. He was stalling for like 2 minutes and 1 second, and he's dead. Come on.
I love it. Like, that's a villain. That's a hero that Lex Luthor could thwart, I feel like. I feel like he could keep a dude contained for 2 minutes.
At that level, like, Buffalo Stampede, and you're running from, like, a pile of logs.
Yeah, and that looks really...
Not even, like, bound together. It's, like, defying all logic and reason, a pile of logs that logs propel from it and try to trip you.
It's a perpetual energy machine, essentially, made of logs.
But, oh, man. It's a difficult and bad game.
I actually kind of enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I kind of enjoyed it and I don't want to pay for it. I mean, let me take that back. I would honestly buy this game as like a $10 or $5 purchase. I think the gameplay is actually pretty good. It's hard. It's
the controls aren't like fucked or
yeah
anything.
I mean it was an entertaining game. The first three missions I thought were entertaining, and then it got to a level of difficulty where it was just one of those things where it's like I'm done mm-hmm. for now. If I owned this game, honestly, I might go back to it and finish it up.
If you
just
owned
to
it
finish
in 1999
up. Absolutely. But I think that this, I mean, Temple Run of course completely replaces this game. Like, yeah. You can just get Temple Run on your phone or your fucking tablet, and don't worry about Pepsi Man. But Pepsi Man is such a weird thing. It's just a weird thing that I think everyone needs to experience because, I mean, it's just... I've never played anything like this. I've never played anything where it's like, holy shit, this is not subtle at all, and I cannot tell if they are being serious or not. Like, I just can't tell if this is pastiche or if this is like a real legitimate, this is a game, motherfucker. Mm-hmm.
There's do you see the final scene with the weird old man?
I don't guess so, no.
When you beat the game, he then he looks very surprised.
Oh yeah,
and he grabs his dick and he runs out of the room.
He goes to the bathroom.
And yeah, and his house is just, it looks like a hoarder's house full of Pepsi cans.
I know. And that really hammered home to me. I was like, I do not know who this game is for. I don't. This does not, like, it actually made me be like, man, Pepsi's fucking gross. Like, I thought that. I thought that. And I love soda. And it's like, it kind of made me question my life. Because it's like, I mean, that's a lot of cans.
That's a lot of cans. I do want to get some original Lay's in two pieces, though.
It did. I'm not going to lie. I did take a break from playing Pepsi Man to nuke some pizza rolls.
Just sat in a chair and yelled broken English at something.
Worse than that, I played this in bed. This guy, Pepsi Man's better than me. I fell asleep in bed next to a plate that housed pizza rolls. I woke up and that's the first thing I saw, the plate that pizza rolls were on.
We'll LARP that. That'll be a good, like, the Tadpog Prom Decathlon, one of which will be everybody dresses as Pepsi Man and goes through an obstacle course.
I'm glad that you brought up this, like, I'm glad that we spent so much time talking about the alter ego of Pepsi Man, mm-hmm. because the transformation between Drew Carey's brother to Pepsi Man is, I mean, it's a more drastic change than, like, Turbo Teen. It's more drastic than a boy turning into a vehicle. The difference.
Because to me, I thought he looked like a slightly younger version of Malcolm's grandfather in Malcolm in the Middle.
Not Pepsi Man. Alter Ego?
Alter Ego.
Because I can't place the grandfather.
He dies in the series. It's not in it very long.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Pepsi Man, on the other hand, kind of reminded me of, like, one of M. Bison's creations.
He looks like Seth.
Like Seth. Yeah.
Only with blue, silver, and
right.
No face, just glass.
Did you see some of like the cover, like the box art for this game or some of the ads where it's just Pepsi Man's faceless head pointing a finger at the viewer and there's just in like large caps at the bottom, drink. It's like if fucking Korea was trying to sell a soft drink.
That's pretty good.
I just don't understand.
That's right, Ryan. I said pretty good. Because it was. I don't have anything else to say about this.
Let's see if I do. Oh, yes, I do. Tyler, were you a fan of the show Heroes when it was on?
Season one.
I believe they're rebooting that show. Is that right?
They
I've
are.
Heard a rumor.
They are.
You think Pepsi Man's got a shot?
Absolutely. And if that world happens and that's the power I wake up with, I'm pretty... Siler is not coming after me to get my power.
Siler, nope. Siler needs refreshment, and I'm going to withhold.
Get Pepsi Man. Get refreshment. The new series tagline. Is it to save the cheerleader, save the world?
I hope that we find out that Pepsi Man's the Haitian. I hope that's what happens. I didn't follow the series long enough to like learn what happened to everybody. So it's like, because season one I thought was great. And then
season one was great television. Like Desperate Housewives season one.
I haven't seen it.
Was fucking funny and dark and wonderful. And then it drops off drastically after that. Same for Heroes.
Well, season two of Heroes, I got like halfway through season two and it was like, that's all, folks. I'm fucking done.
Yep.
I'm done with this. It declined that rapidly.
Season three got a little better, but still not good.
I don't know what happened. So I don't know what happened to all the characters.
Why it was, I mean, ugh. because season two, like, because Siler gets the ability to like shapeshift. So then he becomes the new, what's his name? The main character's brother. Nathan, and becomes the new Nathan. Nathan's the one that can fly.
Peter?
The politician. Yeah, Peter's brother, Nathan.
Peter's brother, Nathan.
Nathan dies, so Parkman goes inside his mind and makes him think he's Nathan, makes him use his shapeshifter abilities to become Nathan, and then locks him in that. So it's like Nathan's come back to life.
Okay.
And the next season, it starts to wear off, and Siler goes crazy again. And
how many seasons did it run?
I think three.
Did you see all of it?
I saw all of seasons one and three and not much of two. But like three, the introduction is bullshit because like the main villain is Peter and Nathan's dad, who is like the embodiment of death because he has the ability to absorb and have all the powers and shit again.
Death Daddy Futrelli. Was that their name?
Futrelli? Futrelli? Something like that. Yeah.
The Fratelli brothers.
We're doing pretty good for the show we've watched.
It's the reboot of the Goonies.
Like he absorbs. There's just happened to be like a few of these people that have this, you know, live forever power. So he,
the cheerleader,
and then the guy that Hiro finds back in the
back in feudal Japan days,
yeah, and who survives because he's immortal. And then the first episode of season three, Death Daddy finds him and is like, oh, kills him and takes his power. Hey, I'm immortal now. Okay, cool. See ya.
And roll credits. That's how the show ends.
Because they find a way. It was just bad. Maybe there were four seasons because the one season was all about a carnival to where.
No, I don't like that.
Where it wasn't too bad because it was one guy who had like godlike powers, but it was based on how many heroes were around him. So he then basically starts a carnival and attracts all the people with power saying, no, I'll give you a home. You're not weird here. You're normal. And he surrounds himself and it's incredibly powerful. And like one shot Siler when Siler comes to stop him. And like,
so he's more of a Magneto, you'd say?
Yeah.
Okay.
He had an interesting story.
Have you seen Misfits?
The first three or four episodes.
I really like Misfits. It's compared to Heroes a lot. Which I think is not a fair comparison.
It's better than what Heroes turned into. So yeah,
I think I really, really enjoyed Misfits. I know that you like British shows.
Yeah. So I've seen like Meg came back. She went to Chicago for a weekend and came back like, I saw the best fucking show. We have to watch it. We have to watch all of it. It was the best show I've ever seen. Misfits. So I was like, okay, cool. We watched a few episodes and Meg was like, I think this is the show I watched. Okay, when I'm drunk, the show is like the best show ever.
It's a good show. They have a lot of cast change out, and I think the third season, or the second or third, is a lot better when a character called Rudy comes in.
Okay.
I mean, the first time he's in, there's like ass-fucking jokes. That's pretty good.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
There's a part of Naruto Shippuden that I think would... If you start on that arc, I think it will get you into watching the whole rest of the series.
I want to know what I said that triggered that. I hope it's ass fucking.
Ass fucking jokes. Because they recruit a new character who makes like jokes like that at Naruto's expense. And I was just like, watch the show like, they really fucking do this?
I was hoping it was going to be like the one where a social worker shows up and they arrest Kakashi for putting his finger in Naruto's ass so many times.
And teaching Naruto to do it to other people. Now the guy like shows up and he's making fun of Naruto's little dick. And like Sakura's like wide eyes covering her mouth.
What's this character's name?
Sai.
Sai? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I'm in. I'll watch it.
Watching that, I was like, oh, they definitely made the characters age with their audience. Do you have any achievements, Dave?
I do. I've got two achievements.
Okay.
Tyler, the first achievement I have is called Tastes Flat. Tastes Flat. Mm-hmm. In order to unlock Tastes Flat, you need to get crushed by the giant Pepsi can on the sixth measure of that level. Because you can see your progress at the top right. Mm-hmm. There's like a ruler, and it's got six units. And... it never fails when I look up to see how far I was in a level, something would kill me. So my point is never fucking look at that thing.
Okay.
I've got one more achievement, and it is called Refreshment Level Over 9,000, Tyler. And in order to unlock Refreshment Level Over 9,000, you need to, over the course of the entire... obviously, you cannot do this in one game, in one playthrough. Over the entirety of all your playthroughs, you have to collect 9,001 cans of Pepsi.
Because you can't, your reward for beating the game is you can replay any level you want.
You're welcome.
So there you go. I've got three. One of which covers something I didn't mention. The first one is Diabetes Man. And you get that for killing 100 people because you can slide into people and kill them.
Not only that, you can rush. And that's like totally how I got to the subway. Because it's like, have you seen the movie Fallen?
No.
Okay. It's essentially, there's this scene where like this, I think it's Fallen. Oh man, someone's going to correct me. It's this demon has possessed somebody and it can transfer from person to person by touch. So there's this really cool scene where the detective who's trying to track down this demon is in the middle of a crowd of people, and he knows that one of the people in the crowd's possessed, and they keep touching one another. So the demon keeps the spirit keeps circling. I just remembered, I don't know why, probably because I was playing as Pepsi Man. I was like, man, I bet Denzel Washington wished he was Pepsi Man and he could just fucking rush through a crowd and just spew like five people at a time. Just straight up, just no, I mean, it doesn't hurt you at all. If you're running regular to the crowd and they hit you, it stuns you for like a second and you lose a little bit of life. But if you fucking rush through them, you just can murder these people with like no consequences.
No consequences. If in this world, if you're replacing Pepsi, murder is fair game. And do not stop between going A to B. It's fine. Whatever you have to do.
Yes. Sorry for my weird fallen tangent.
That's fine. The other is Buffalo Bill, and that is just avoiding all the buffalo that randomly come on about and on the interstate. And then, really? Okay. And that is replaying a level after you beat the game.
Okay.
But Dave, before we get anywhere else.
Yes. Do you have a quiz?
I have a quiz for you.
All right. What product is this? Is this in the Pepsi family of products?
It is. It's a little more broad than that. This is a soda quiz.
Okay. I should ace this. I drink soda.
Because I was worried it was going to be too hard, but then Meg did pretty well. So I was like, okay.
I don't quiz well, Tyler. I'm probably not going to do great.
This soda was created by a pharmacist.
Dr. Pepper?
Coca-Cola.
Okay. Great. Off to a great start. Wasn't it all like tonic at the time? Like, wasn't it all just kind of like...
Yeah, it was like magical elixir and cocaine tonic.
Yeah.
This soda's original name was Shooter Waco for it being created in Waco, Texas.
Meg did good at this?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, she knows her soda stuff because I feel like you're throwing me some right off the bat.
She got number one because we watched A Drunk History about it.
Okay. Right off the bat, you're throwing some fucking curveballs. I don't know. Waco, Texas? Fucking arson elixir? I don't know what. I don't know. What is it?
Dr. Pepper.
Dr. Pepper. Of course it was.
Waco does not have a great history.
I hope that Dr. Pepper is Waco's like crowning achievement.
I mean, yeah, we remember David Koresh, but you remember Dr. Right. Pepper? That's the thing we did. This soda once contained lithium, and it was a selling point for the soda.
I have no idea. I'm going to take a wild guess and say Orange Crush.
It's 7-Up.
My second choice. 7-Up.
Sold in Italy and mentioned once before on this show, this is regarded as one of the most vile sodas.
It was mentioned on the show?
I brought it up.
Okay. Well, I don't listen to you sometimes. Mondo? It's pretty vile.
Because you can get it at the Coke Museum.
Oh, I remember you talking about this, but I cannot remember what it's called. It's like the licorice. Is it the licorice drink?
It tastes like, I mean, licorice is being kind.
I cannot remember what it's called.
Beverly. So it's not just me that thinks it's gross. Uh-huh. I found various websites that are like, no, this is super gross. Everybody agrees. Coke changes one ingredient for Passover season to make Coca-Cola kosher. What ingredient do they change?
All the pork in it?
Yeah. All the ground pork juice.
That's probably it, right? The blood of swine?
That's what Coke is originally called. Blood swine elixir.
I do not know. Sugar? I do not know.
That's what the ingredients changed to sugar.
It was changed to sugar?
Right.
So it wasn't sugar. Fucking cocaine?
Corn syrup? Corn syrup is the sweetener in Coke, and they change it to cane sugar over Passover to make it kosher.
Okay.
So the Coke, when you see it has a yellow tab,
yeah,
that means it's kosher. It has sugar cane.
Okay.
This brand of soda was created in Nazi Germany when trade embargoes made it impossible to make Coke.
Well, I mean, we all know.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk about it, but we all know. It was made in Nazi Germany?
Uh-huh. It was created in Nazi Germany.
Is this still around?
Yep.
How do they make a kosher version of this? hate juice?
It's pretty close.
Fanta.
Fanta is correct. Yep, Fanta is Nazi Coke.
Oh, God. Whew. Jesus.
You picked up your phone like, I'm going to text Nikki right now.
Right the fuck now.
This soda was marketed as a diet soda for people who wanted to keep tabs on their weight.
I'm going to go ahead and assume it wasn't a diet soda. Spriette?
Tab.
Oh, keep tabs on. You gave me a hint and I completely missed it.
True or false? You get 18% drunker when mixing alcohol with diet soda.
True.
True.
Because it dehydrates you?
I don't know. I don't know the reason behind it.
Okay. Wow, okay. Things are starting to make sense.
This soda is the primary cause for dental issues in the Appalachian region.
Ah.
And the dental condition has been named, the name of the soda,
it's Dew Mouth. It's Dew Mouth. It's yep. Mountain Dew.
Mountain Dew.
Their photos exist, Tyler, of Dew Mouth. I don't know if you've taken the time to research. Show notes, Dew Mouth.
This soda shares its name with a type of small goblin, which was the focus in its UK ads.
Okay, a small goblin in the UK. In the UK ads? Mm-hmm. So it was the mascot of this soda? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know if it's the mascot, but it played heavily into its marketing campaign in the UK.
This is going to sound silly. I'm going to go Sprite. I'm going to go Sprite because maybe they're making the connection of fictional monster creature to fictional Sprite.
Sprite is correct.
All right.
There you go.
Logic to my way through through a D. I'm pretty sure I got a D on this. Probably an F.
It was a harder question. I made guess and get all of them right. So
Was that it?
That was it.
Hey, man, look. I don't care how horribly I did. I got the fucking Nazi hate drink right.
You know what Nazi tastes like, so you know that one.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
Thanks for that quiz, buddy.
You're welcome.
I had a good time tonight. Yeah. I had a good time recording this. Yeah, absolutely I did. You sound surprised. Yeah, really? Before we close this out, though, I've got some questions I want to ask you. One of them is going to be wildly entertaining to me. But before we get to that, I want to ask you, if you were to give this game a beard that sums up how you feel about it, what kind of beard would it be?
It would be, say you are trapped on a desert island, and the only thing that washes up is a empty can of Pepsi, and you it's like torn open, like something is bitten into it.
Like a shark. Let's just say a shark.
And you are forced to shave with this this busted can of Pepsi. It's the remnants of your beard after you have shaved with this busted can of Pepsi.
What, you got a hot date on the island or something? Yep. Why are you shaving with the Pepsi can?
It's itchy. This beard's itchy. I just got to get rid of it.
Tyler.
Yes, Dave.
If you were to give this game a pair of glasses, what kind of glasses would you give it?
Well, famously, you know of Coke bottle glasses.
Yes.
So I'd have to give this a pair of Pepsi bottle glasses, yeah, which are still full of Pepsi and just don't really work.
So wait, I don't think I quite got your final take on Pepsi Man. Not a fan?
Not a fan.
Definitely in the not a fan camp.
Not a fan. Not the worst advert game we've played by any stretch of the imagination. Yeah. But
as far as the advert games go, how do you feel about it?
The advert games, it's acceptable.
Acceptable?
Yep.
See, I think as far as the advert games go, I think Pepsi Man's at the top of my list.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going exceptional.
See, I think Cool Spot's better than this.
Oh, but no way. Yeah. Cool Spot looks better than this.
Yeah.
We didn't mention
the SNES.
Yeah, we didn't mention that this game looks like ass.
Yeah.
I think I heard a rumor. I don't know if it's true. I believe it. I think this was developed for the SNES and was released as a PlayStation game. Because this game is like completely sprite based.
Yeah.
Not the soda.
Pepsi Man is the only
It's a two-dimensional fucking game. Tyler, I've got one more question for you. Man, I have been looking forward to this one because this is we got a really interesting one on our hands. Tyler, what I'd like to know is, how much is this game on Amazon? If you were to buy this game right now, used on Amazon, How much do you think you pay for it?
It had to be a Japanese import.
Okay.
Not available here in America at all.
Mm-hmm.
$15.
Actual retail value of Pepsi Man, Japan import, you're correct, used on Amazon at the time of this recording is $57.68. That is the lowest priced. Tyler.
Wow.
How much do you think this game is new on Amazon? It is available.
$8.
New on Amazon at the time of this recording, $546.27.
Jesus.
Don't worry. If you want to pay more for it, you can. There's a copy out here for $721.66. Plus $13 shipping.
That's what I'm going to ask Cockmaster Shake to bring back for me this year.
A copy of Pepsi Man?
Because he's like the Japanese Santa, brings over gifts from Japan every year when he comes
home. It's always a little off, though.
Yeah, whatever you ask for, he'll just bring you whatever he thinks you should get.
So I'm curious what you're going to get instead of Pepsi Man.
Just Japanese Pepsi.
Just American pornography.
We have a little bit of time left if we want to take a few calls.
Yeah, we can probably do that. We got a backlog here. All right, let's see what we got. These calls are, it's kind of getting ridiculous because they are from a very long time ago. All right, here we go. This is from July 17th.
What's up, Tadpog? It's Adam Long again. Been a little while since I caught up to the new episode. So it's been a while since I've called. I've missed hearing your really crappy voicemail. But I've listened to two episodes. I listened to Mick Kids and I listened to Pokemon Stadium, and Dave, I want you to know in the Mick Kids episode episode, your laugh brought me more joy than anything else has ever brought me joy on this planet.
I'm glad.
And I just want you to know, I think your laugh is priceless and one of a kind. So any episode that Dave Moore laughs hysterically,
his true laugh,
top 10 episode for me. So really enjoyed that episode with the fancy sexy Mad Lib. That was great. And enjoyed the Pokemon Stadium episode. As Tyler would say, it was pretty good. And, your brother, and the whole episodes have brought up a story of mine that right after I got out of seminary, I took a job as a youth and college pastor at a church in North Carolina. And one of the things that my students knew about me early on is, one, I don't like clowns. It's not an irrational thing at all. I saw a clown
driving
a car at nighttime while I was riding my bike home one night. It was smoking a cigarette, and it looked at me the whole time I rode past it. It did not look happy. It did not look fun, and it scarred me for the rest of my life. So we were all at McDonald's one day, and my kids kept telling this lifelike Ronald McDonald that was there to go and give me a hug because I loved Ronald McDonald. Well, Ronald kept coming over to me and kept saying, "Hey, buddy, how about a hug?" And I was like, "Hey, man, I appreciate it, but I'm going to need you to just, you know, back away." He just kept coming. I'm there with like 30 middle school and high school kids. And finally, I was like, "Ronald, if you come near me, I'm going to have to get you out of my way." And he said, "Oh, somebody's grumpy," and tried to hug me and ended up shoving him. He tripped over one of my middle schoolers and hit the ground. So his voice changed from the happy-go-lucky, you know, clown man to a real dude that just got pushed over and was like, "Hey, man, what's your problem?" And I said to him, "Frankly, I don't want you touching me with your creepy clown body. So if you get up and try to do it again, you're going to have to haul me out of here." So, not really a great time for my students. They all thought it was hilarious. I didn't. But, question for you guys. Have you ever almost gotten in a physical altercation with a famous mascot or person? I think it'd be fun to talk about. Looking forward to listening to Banjo-Kazooie. I have no hope that you guys will like it. I love it, but I can't wait to hear you guys talk about it. Hope you're doing well. Can't wait for more episodes. Love you guys.
Thanks, Adam.
That's a good story. And to be fair, I mean, he shouldn't be embarrassed. He warned that.
That
was sufficient.
Ronald McDonald.
Ronald McDonald should
have
had training beforehand. If somebody
hand-to-hand
does not want
training.
To be, he should have like hadouken'd you immediately. Hamdouken'd you.
At least Shoryuken. I mean, come on. Have I ever gotten almost into an altercation with the mascot? No. I've rarely almost gotten in an altercation with anybody because I do not like fighting. I think it is scary. If I had to choose one to fight, I don't know who it would be. I don't know who it would be.
Chuck E. Cheese.
Chuck E. Cheese? I don't know, man. I feel like I'm not getting through, not getting any punches through Chuck E. Cheese. But Chuck E. Cheese for you, definitely?
Yeah, because I like Showbiz, the bear.
So you're fighting for a cause. I like that. You're not fighting Chuck E. Cheese because you think he'd be fun to fight. You have a reason to fight Chuck E. Cheese.
You shouldn't be here.
I'm thinking it's like a gang brawl where it's like there's like lead pipes and chains. It's like
a final fight scene.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like you're in the middle, right? Like they're on either side, the Chuck E. Cheese gang and the Showbiz gang are on either side, and you're in the middle, and you have to decide. And like the real like climax of the whole movie, you decide to side with Showbiz.
Mm-hmm. And then, like I hit Chuck E. Cheese, and he goes barf, and then flashes away.
And you've had a romantic relationship with somebody on the Chuck E. Cheese side too, and it makes it just
it's gotta be that bird.
Sweet ass bird,
or that purple monster, or the guy from Brooklyn.
Yeah,
you'll understand that reference when we release our Patreon exclusive this month. Too hot for two dudes in an S.
I still don't know who I'd fight. Not the Grimace.
Mm-mm.
Not the Grimace.
Mm-mm. He's immune to force, so
definitely not the Grimace. Probably the Hardy's star. Probably the Hardy's star. All right, next call.
Yeah. Thanks, Adam.
Yes, and thank you for the compliment. There are a lot of episodes where I actually feel like I don't contribute very much, so it's nice to hear someone say that.
Because I'd asked Ryan said, my brother, said that he thought GoldenEye was the best episode of the N64 era.
And that was a pretty good episode.
I asked him why, you know, you want to know why that such a good episode.
So we can do more of it.
He agreed with Adam that it was your laugh. That your laugh is so infectious, it makes everything a lot funnier, and it's just...
It's good. Yeah. So that is
the fourth or fifth time I've heard that.
So. I like hearing that because there are times where it's like, you know what? I feel like this show pretty much could work without me. You can pretty much get anybody to sit on this side of the table, and the show's going to work just fine.
No.
So thank you very much, Adam. We love you, too.
Mm-hmm.
Here is another call. Do we got time?
Yeah.
All right. This is from 651.
Motherfucking Ted Pog. What's up? It's Cody.
I
just read a pretty funny Would You Rather. I mean, it's not even that good, but it got a chuckle out of me, so I thought I'd, give it to the Ted Pog Nation. Would you rather burp confetti or fart glitter? All right. I'd probably fart glitter because that'd be so much funner. All right, peace out, and I'll catch you guys. Let's see, this is Sunday before the Hall call-in show, so probably about two or three call-in shows later. All right, peace.
Joke's on you, Cody, and Cody's dog. We're playing this at the end of a Other Shit Monday.
Yeah, I think Mike has given that to us before.
I think we've had a similar one. Yeah. I cannot remember what I answered.
I said fart glitter, and I stand by that.
Whatever I said before, erase it, because it's definitely fart glitter. Although I can guarantee you that if I get fart glitter, I'm going to get in the butt stuff. So I can show that off in sexual situations.
Mm-hmm. It'd be much nicer after working out and sweating if I could come in and pull down my pants and it's just glitter everywhere. That'd be nice.
When you, Tyler, excuse me, I know you don't like talking about such matters. Mm-hmm. But if you fart glitter, do you just poop regular, do you think?
Surely not.
Something different's coming out.
Yeah. I guess like the little bouncy balls that are like glitter full of glitter, so it's like looks like rabbit pellets full of glitter. I don't know.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Or shrinky dinks. Or like
slinkies. Sparkly slinkies that just tumble out. We could probably take one more.
One more? All right. Let's see. Here we go. This is from 731. Thanks again for calling, Cody.
Do you not remember that it was me who started this off by hitting Meredith with my car? I owe it to her to finish this GD 5K.
That is a quote from The Office from St. Zach.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, what's going on?
Maybe that's season three. Maybe he's making a reference to our Albuquerque journey, but I can guarantee you that is Michael. He's quoting Michael Scott from The Office.
Is there a follow up? Gonna take one more. Does he call immediately back?
No, no, he doesn't. No, he doesn't call back. That was Zach's last call, I believe. No, here we go. He calls back in August.
Oh well, I guess we'll get to it then. We can take, that was so short. We can take one more.
Slippery slope, Tyler.
Yep.
Slippery slope. All right. Here's a call. This is from a local. This is from 270. Looks like it might be Exalted Lord Mike.
Okay.
That'd be good. We haven't heard from him in a while.
Wow.
Not since he came on that wall, I think.
Good evening, gentlemen. Exalted Lord Mike of Purdue.
What's up, Lord
and
Mike?
And I've got some rapid fire would you rathers back by popular demand. I'm going to run through these pretty quick, so I don't know if pausing after each one so you guys can respond or if Tyler wants to take notes. But I've got 14 of them, so hopefully you guys can keep up. I'll try to go quick and keep it under 3 minutes.
We got a little time. We got time for another call? Yeah, sure. One more. Did you need the one where Mike asked us 14 questions? Would you like me to pause them?
No, let's do it.
Rapid fire?
Yeah, rapid fire.
Rapid fire.
I assume it's rapid fire, so we can do this.
Okay, perfect.
So, number one, have Parmesan cheese dandruff, or would you rather have bubble wrap acne?
Parmesan cheese dandruff.
Number two, would you rather sneeze out of your ass or fart out of your nose?
Sneeze out of my ass.
Number three.
Glitter.
Would you rather compulsively shadow box in your sleep or have your erection point to the correct time like a clock hand?
Shadow box. I already do that.
Would you rather have a horizontal butt crack or vertically aligned breast?
Vertically aligned breast.
Would you rather have Twizzlers for hair or Sharpie markers for fingers?
Twizzlers for hair.
Would you rather urinate through your nose or smell things with your genitalia?
Smell things
with my dick. Yeah.
Would you rather vomit super bouncy balls or urinate crazy streams?
Oh, that would hurt.
I lost count. Would you rather have your ears and nipples switch places?
No.
Or have your nose and genitalia switch places?
Oh, fuck.
Number
ears and nipples and wear headphones.
Would you rather have a website live stream your showers or live stream all your bowel movements?
Live stream my bowel movements.
Showers.
I get a lot more traffic.
Real number 10. Would you rather have to use sign language to talk dirty or have to use clinical terms to talk dirty?
Sign language.
Number 11. Would you rather have commercial interruptions during masturbation fantasies or have to use a Sesame Street hand puppet to masturbate with?
Sesame Street hand puppet.
Number 12.
Interruptions.
Would you rather have steel wool pubic hair or have Velcro pubic hair?
Number
13. Yeah. Would you rather have phone sex with Yoda or have phone sex with Kermit the Frog?
Kermit the Frog.
Number 14. Would you rather remove your two front teeth with a bottle opener or pierce your ears, nose, and navel with a hole puncher?
Hole puncher.
That should keep you guys talking for a while. I hope you were able to keep up with all of them.
Yep.
You're good.
As always, love the show. Love you guys. And we'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Thank you, Exalted Lord Mike.
Thank you.
That was a good list.
Love you too. That was good. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for putting that together. I feel like that was probably the list he was mentioning that he was going to bring on the episode he came on. So I'm glad that we finally got that. And by that, I mean, I'm glad he sent us that on July 20th. And we finally got around to playing it. Tyler?
Yes.
I got a question for you.
Okay.
I know we need to close this out, but if you recall,
we got a quiz.
If you recall, at the beginning of this episode, Sandwich Pope Phil asked us a question. He wanted us to round out the rest of the list. Do you have classes for the three remaining Saved by the Bell characters?
Lisa Turtle. Lisa Turtle is, we mentioned it before, from Bravely Default, the merchant class.
Right.
She was the rich girl who always spending money. She's whatever that class was from Bravely Default.
So in D&D, she would be any class, but with the background of merchant. Or guild artisan?
Yeah. I'd say, yeah.
Okay. Jesse? What do you think about Jesse?
Why do I think Jesse's Bono is in 5th edition, or I guess overall
any classes. I think any D&D.
I think she would be, while not religious, she would be the prestige class evangelist.
Okay. I also messed up. That's not one of the ones we're supposed to answer.
That's okay.
But I was just so, I just thought that druid was so wrong. That I think yours is perfect, mm-hmm. Tyler.
Okay. So who else?
Kelly Kapowski.
Kelly.
Bard. I think she's a bard. She's a cheerleader. Be. She's all about like inspiring her friends and supporting her friends.
High charisma.
Very high charisma.
Yeah.
You're right. Bard. It's got to be. Screech Powers.
Screech is, if it's D&D terms, he's a wizard.
Yeah.
Maybe transmutation, a transmuter, turning other things into other things because he's an inventor. Really, he's a technomancer. But that's D20 modern.
We can use it.
If we throw another one in there, Tori.
Tori. The badass.
Tori, I think is a barbarian.
Yeah. Okay. With a heart of gold.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then who was Tori Spelling's character? The nerdy girl that Screech was into. Can you remember her name?
I cannot remember her name. Do you have a class for her though?
She would be actually maybe Screech is actually a diviner. Remember that episode where he shocked himself and could tell the future like an hour?
Yes.
And
yes.
Then when he got wet, then it started messing up.
He's a diviner, which makes sense because Max is an enchanter.
They're perfect. Solid. Above and beyond, Phil. You're welcome.
Thanks for emailing us 2 years ago. Sorry we never read it on the air.
Thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the show on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher. I didn't even check to see if anybody ever left a Stitcher review after last week.
I don't use Stitcher either. So, hey, our episode's published there. That's all I know.
Yep. We got another 5-star iTunes review. So, yes. Thank who I assume is Lord Mike again for Lord Mike 100 asking us to do more all-call shows. We got 2 more Patreon donors.
Coach Lofton also.
Oh, Coach Lofton.
On iTunes. Did we get another one that was named Lord Mike 100?
Yep. Yep.
Okay, perfect. So thank you to both of you who both might be Lord Mike. I'm sorry.
And then we had 2 please. More Patreon pledges. So we should mention again, I think the 28th is the date we set for that to...
I said the 28th. I was mistaken.
Okay.
I wanted it to be the 25th because that's a Friday. Okay. So that way we can have a week where the listeners get a Monday show, they get a Wednesday show, and they get a Friday show if they're a Patreon donor.
All right. Yeah. So once a month on whatever middle of the Friday or whatever, we will release to the Patreon donors. If you can throw in $1, $12 a year, and you'll get 12 episodes.
Yeah.
There you go. It'd be nice.
We definitely appreciate it. I know the 2 new pledges was from Ian Chandler, who is a friend of mine. So it was really awesome to see Ian support us, and a guy named Craig Helsel. So thank you both.
So we definitely appreciate that. We still, biggest marketplace, love those 5-star iTunes reviews. So if you wanted to help us out, go leave a written 5-star review. We try to incentivize you to help us. So if there's a game you want us to play, a guest host you want for an episode, include that in your written 5-star review. And we promise we will get to that eventually.
Don't worry, guys. Like Tyler said, we're going to be back. We are actually going to be talking about Super Mario 64. And hey, remember that Ian Chandler guy I mentioned earlier? He might be on that episode. I love Ian, and I'm really happy that he's going to be on. He and I go way back, way, way back. He is actually, I'm going to save this for that episode. I just learned what my intro is going to be.
All right.
So in the meantime, you can always find us at tadpog.com. That's where the show notes live. You can find us on Facebook. We're at facebook.com/tadpog. There are a lot of cool people there doing a lot of cool shit. Hey man, you got something to say about Pepsi Man? Did we miss something? Like a nugget of truth about Pepsi Man that we didn't mention? That's a good place to let us know on Facebook. Tyler will make a Facebook post and just post there. You can find us on Twitter. We are at tadpog_podcast. It's cumbersome, I realize. Thank you for everybody who is retweeting us, especially our episode posts, because that really gets the word out about the show. Also, thank you for everyone who immediately retweeted and favorited the tweet that we sent out about the Geek Soapbox that Jacob is on. Jacob of Wolf Fighting fame is on there with Leva of Blue Pants fame. Literally, as I believe how you posted on Facebook. So that's very, very exciting. Thank you guys for spreading the word, because Jacob and Leva are friends of ours, and that's awesome that the listeners are supportive as well. Like we mentioned earlier, we are on Patreon. If you are interested in the Too Hot for Two Dudes in a Ness episode, this is your chance to get it. If you feel like this show is worth it, chip in a few bucks, whatever, whatever you want. And we will deliver that sweet pornographic goodness. you can call us if you want. If you want to be one of the awesome people that sends us voicemail or text, you can do that at 270-883-2555. Lastly, I want to thank listener Mark, who wanted to send us a Steam game, Lisa. I received that. Tyler, I think you already had it. I don't know how that worked out. But Mark, thank you. That was a game that's been on my wish list because I'd heard it referenced as Earthbound-esque. Mm-hmm. So I missed it in the last sale. So thank you for that game.
Our theme song is Moves by Sycamore Drive. A link to that track can be found in the show notes at tadpog.com. I guess I should also mention that Cola is going to be on the Mario 64 episode, and she's had a lady boner, a gargantuan John Holmes-esque lady boner for doing this episode specifically for like 2 years now.
Doing the Super Mario 64 episode?
Yeah. So I expect her to bring it hard, just can't shut her up, just talking loudly and proudly about Mario 64 the entire time.
Okay. I don't want to spoil anything, but I do have a feeling that this next episode is going to be a very positive one. Between Nicole.
Oh, is it now?
I think it's going to be, unless there's a cloud, if there happens to be a cloud of negativity.
I'm going
to
contact Matt Barger, and we're going to summon the cloud of negativity in full force.
I have a feeling that it's going to be one of those where we don't run out of things to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see.
We'll see. Yeah.
We'll see. Otherwise, we do have like 55 calls we can do. So, did you guys like Super Mario 64? Yeah, it was all right. Okay, you want to take calls?
Yes. How do you want to close this out?
Let's close it out like Pepsi Man doesn't really talk. I mean, the Goofy guy talks. We could do it like the Goofy guy, but I feel like a lot of his charm is in his broken English.
Yeah.
I do not know what Malcolm's grandfather sounded like on Malcolm in the Middle, but I could approximate it.
From the old country.
I could approximate it.
Okay.
Let's do it like that.
So we'll do it like grandfather. You never found out the last name of the family.
They never give the last name.
Yep. They did that intentionally because they didn't want them to assign them to any particular ethnic group.
Interesting.
Yep.
That seems really weird to me.
Mm-hmm. It was actually revealed. I think you can. It's revealed in the unaired pilot. And supposedly you can see it if you freeze frame the one of the last scenes in the entire series where Francis drops his name badge. And I forget what it
you
is,
you don't remember
though.
What it is? I'm going to look it up as soon as we're done.
Okay. So until next time, Tropical Capricorn! It's not bad. A little gruffer, but yeah, not bad.
All right. Yeah, some people just want to fuck a robot.
I didn't know I'm fucking a robot.
Your penis is so hard.
Oh, oh, oh.
And long.
Orgasm.
Your penis is 7.2113 inches.
Orgasm loading.